anniversary. This album's celebrating an anniversary.
You know what time it is. Hello, Sam.
Hello.
What's up, bro?
What's up? All good, all good. Yeah, today we are looking at the second album by Bristol trip-hop group Portishead. Their self-titled album, which was released in 1997. It's turning 20 this year. Another great album from 1997, which we've done quite a few of this year.
Yeah, what is it about 20 years ago? It's revolutionary.
One of those
years,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, this came on the back, hot on the heels of their very successful album, Dummy, which was released in 1994. So let's just talk a bit about who Portishead are, a bit about their background. So they were formed in Bristol in 1991. And they consist of Jeff Barrow, Adrian Utley, and Beth Gibbons, who is the front woman and lead vocalist. And they're actually named, incidentally, after a town, Portishead, which is 8 miles west of Bristol.
I thought it was an animal.
Really?
Yes. Oh. I don't really know much about the origins of Portishead. I'll admit it.
Oh, no, it could be an animal but, as well. But,
it just sounded like an animal to me. I was like, oh, it's the head of some type of seal.
It could be.
I just assumed that.
We could investigate. it's definitely a town near Bristol.
Cool,
but it could be an animal too.
No, that's good. I learned something.
So, yeah, they came out of the Bristol trip-hop scene, of course. We've spoken about Massive Attack before on anniversary albums, and Bristol was the home of trip-hop, trip-hop being a moulding of kind of different styles, particularly hip-hop and electronic music, very highly experimental, and this developed in Bristol in the 80s and into the early 90s. I mean, Massive Attack style trip-hop, for example, on Blue Lines was kind of more soul and R&B flavoured, while Portishead style, I'd say, is more jazzy, down-tempo, kind of more darker.
Yeah, sinister.
Sinister, yeah.
It's like that part in the horror film where you're like, you think you're safe, and then you see this like crying like little girl in the middle of the road, that's the monster.
That's a very good point, actually. I kind of describe their style of music kind of like the soundtrack to the film you've never seen.
Yeah.
It's very soundtracky, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's got that mystery to it, and you'll hear that in some of the tracks. Very mysterious. So in the lead up to this album, they released Dummy in 1994, and that was a massive success for them. It's considered a classic 90s album. One of the great trip-hop albums. It also won the 1995 Mercury Prize. And with the success of this record, they pretty much disappeared for 3 years to work on this album. And this album has been described as being more grainier, more harsher than their debut album. And I think along with Massive Attack's third album, Mezzanine, which came out in 1998, trip-hop was going down this more sort of darker industrial sound, I guess. And you'll definitely hear that, I think, on some of the tracks we play today. There's kind of more haunting textures on here. There's kind of like a film noir type production going on.
It's actually quite a film noir type of cover as well.
It is, yeah. Yeah. Their album covers are quite spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one definitely is as well. I think Beth Gibbons plays out this kind of role of a tortured diva more on this record.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. I mean, her vocals are so haunting and dark and emotional. She really is a great singer.
A fabulous vocalist.
So it's clear that I think on this record they weren't searching for crossover pop success like they did with Dummy. They were more wanting to go and do their own thing and challenge people more with the listening experience.
Yeah.
And they certainly did that. So we're going to start with the opening track of the record. It's called Cowboys. And this has a very dark, doomy feel to it. I mean, I think she sounds a bit like Shirley Bassey singing James Bond theme on this track. It's got that kind of James Bond theme quality to it, I reckon. Yeah.
Did you sweep us five
That was awesome.
It was so good.
Yes. Wait, what's going on?
What is going on?
Yeah, what is going on? That's weird. Uh-oh. It's picking up, so maybe, can it hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You can hear me? Oh, yeah. Okay, then I've got the... Ah, I know what's going on. I've got the wrong headphones on.
Ah.
They're not plugged in.
Oh.
I was scared.
You were.
See, you guys don't know this, but I'm actually operating everything. That's why every week there is something that messes up. You know, there's like a pair of there's a pair of unplugged headphones in here that I also knew about that I ended up putting on. My bad.
That's fine. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be Monday morning otherwise.
You know, Sam puts a lot of work in his segment and I always mess
up. No. Absolutely not. all right. So that was Cowboys. As you can see, very dark, very gloomy kind of horror film-esque, I guess. So on the next track, we're going to continue with this kind of dark, moody feel with the second track and the first single from the album. It's called All Mine. And this is actually the most commercially successful single by the group. It went to number 8 in the UK, the only track of theirs to reach the top 10 in the UK. And also this track managed to crack the top 30 in New Zealand. So, yeah, very successful for them. All Mine.
All Mine. All Mine. Sorry, man. Something is going mental here. Where are you? I can't find it. Oh, there it is. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
No. You know what?
Let's go.
It's a mental Monday today.
Mental Monday.
So sometimes things just don't work out how you want them to. But what's good is that, you know, I'm here.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
Freaking out just as much.
Physical presence.
Yeah.
Physical.
Tethered and tied, there's nowhere to hide.
I feel like this song shaped me when I heard it as a child. Like, I feel like that was like the supernatural element of that song.
Yeah. It's got that. Oh, it's just something about it.
Scary.
I was just saying to Geneva, I think I'd nominate this to be the next James Bond theme, that track.
Yeah, you could definitely do a slow-mo walk to this.
Those horns are so James Bond.
And you could also do, like, explosions in time.
And gunshots.
And, you know,
sex scenes.
Gratuitous violence and sex.
Exactly.
Because that's what Bond is.
Yeah, and this music just fits that perfectly.
Do you think they'd be into it, though?
Probably
or would
not.
They be like, nah.
Yeah, probably not.
Give us $1 billion.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
All right, so the next track we're going to play, Beth changes things up a bit on this next track and goes down more of a jazz route, especially in her vocals. This track's called Undenied, and this, I think, is more similar to the style of singing she displayed on Dummy, which is more classic, I guess, sounding Portishead, but yeah, more jazzy.
And it's also 4 minutes and 20 seconds long.
Yes, it is. I'm glad you picked that up.
And we also got a text in a song ago from someone who said 97 was the best year ever for music, which I totally agree with.
It's definitely up there. Yep.
Yep. I woke up that year, went for OE to London and opened my brain. Been listening to B ever since. And cheer, Paul.
What a great 20 years it's been.
Yeah, it is. All right, I'll play this song.
Thank you.
Beautiful track. So silky smooth.
Yeah, I had a lovely caller who just very excited said he went and saw them about 15 years ago.
Oh, so that would have been around 2000 and early 2000s, 2002.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been, yeah, right at their kind of peak, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Did he say where?
He did, but I got, it was here in Auckland.
Okay, yeah.
Bruce Mason Centre.
Oh, good old Bruce Mason Centre, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that was nice. I was just saying to Geneva, someone should make a short film set to this music.
Yeah.
Like a 40 or 30 minutes film. That would be great.
I know. I mean, like...
It's just got that quality, a sound, film soundtrack quality to it.
It'd be kind of scary, I reckon.
It would be a scary film, but, you know, scary films can be good.
Oh, I like scary films.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, that was Undeny. So, as you can see, very jazzy, kind of... silky smooth, slowing things down a bit.
Mm.
On the next track, though, we're going to kind of return back to that more darker, doomy, kind of gloomy music from the first two tracks. This track's called Only You, and I think this actually has more of a hip-hop feel to it, particularly with the samples and the beats here. They're very hip-hop influenced. In fact, the track actually has a very prominent sample through it of The Far Side's She Said, which pretty much gives it that strong hip-hop feel.
Brilliant.
That was fantastic.
Brilliant.
Love that track. And thanks very, very much for your correspondence. We've had some great correspondence in.
Yes.
Particularly the person who said that a short film did come out in 1994.
It's called How to Kill a Man.
Which is very appropriate. And you were saying that it kind of mixes that kind of spy world with death and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so what you're saying about it being part of a Bond film, well, it turns out that this short film is a spy movie which revolves around an assassination, and the aftermath of said assassination is about 11 minutes long. If you want to check it out, just check it out. It's called How to Kill a Man.
Yeah, and their music's in it, so yeah, even better. And also, we just had a nice call, and they're going back on tour. It's great. And I had to kind of just gently break the news to them that it's not actually happening,
yeah,
unfortunately. But they are on tour. They do still tour, so maybe
they might get around to us
at some stage. Mm. Yeah, who knows? In the meantime, though, should I talk about how this album was received and mm-hmm. just its legacy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why not? Okay, so the album, it did very well, actually. It reached number 2 in the UK charts. Also cracked the top 30 in America, which is no mean feat. And also made it to number 1 in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And Portishead have always been very popular down here. And by this stage, trip-hop was at its peak, and they were very much, along with Tricky and Massive Attack, very much at the forefront of that movement. Critics also loved it. Spin magazine said the band created a gothic, deadly and trippy atmosphere, which is so true.
Yes.
And music journalist Barry Walters observed that the group got darker, deeper and more disturbing on this record. And I think that is the key, that this was a more darker record than Dummy. And critics were, I guess, happy that they weren't just going to repeat themselves. They were going to go down a new direction and kind of evolve musically.
Yeah, downward spiral.
The downward spiral into the deep, dark despair. Yeah.
Hey.
Why not? It works.
Why not?
It also appeared in a lot of albums of the year list. I mean, we've talked about 1997 being a great year for music, and this is considered one of the best albums from that year. And it appeared in a lot of best of the year lists during 1997. And it's also considered one of the best trip-hop albums ever as well. After this record, they took a bit of a hiatus. They wouldn't actually come back to record another album until 2008, so they took about 11 years off recording. And their third record was titled Third, and that's actually the last record that they made.
Wow.
They haven't actually made an album since then. That was 9 years ago. So
I bet they're cooking something out. If they've had taken an 11-year recording hiatus...
And then a 9-year recording hiatus.
Well, I mean...
After the third one.
Yeah, but they're still on hiatus, so sure. We don't know. It's like, it could be indefinite.
It could be, but they are still touring. They played Glastonbury a couple of years ago, I think it was. So it remains to be seen whether they release another album, but hopefully they get around to, you know, coming this way, doing some touring. It'll be good. So with that, we're going to finish with...
Oh, we're going to do our last song after this ad break.
Hi. My name is BFM, and I'll just read it. Okay. B Street was a lovely time. Denying it would be a crime. The bands were great, the venues too. If you were there, then thanks to you. To Tiger Bear and Indomie, to Vice, to Irvine's and Skull Candy, to St. Kevin's Arcade and the AUSA, you made it great. Hip hip hooray! Thanks everyone. I love you.
Hey, can you play the new Iris Cyrus song?
We just played that.
Oh. Can you play the other one?
Yeah, why not?
Here at BFM, we believe that variety is bad, and some albums are so good they deserve a proper airing. So that's what we're gonna do. Every Saturday during Totally Wired, NZ On Air Music presents Long Player, spinning a recently released local album in full, with interviews and anecdotes from the artists themselves. NZ On Air Music presents Long Player, every Saturday from 1 as part of Totally Wired.
Kia ora everyone, you're tuned into Morning Glory with Geneva, and we're doing the last installment of Anniversary Albums with Sam Smith.
Howdy. Yeah, today we've been looking at Portishead's second album, Portishead, which is turning 20 this year. And the final song we're going to play is called Western Eyes. It's a very dark, foreboding track, which is kind of similar to all the tracks on the record. And this I think this actually captures quite perfectly the overall feel and sound of this record and how different it was from Dummy. The track also actually features some additional vocals also from a guy called Sean Atkins as well.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
For a good time, as always.
Yeah, I'll be back again next week.
Yeah, and you can also catch Sam on The Wire, which he is doing on Mondays.
And also, you can check out the podcast of this. It's up this afternoon sometime as well. Yeah. Revisit. Yeah.
Check it out.
And all my other anniversary albums are up there as well.
Great. Yeah. All right. Well, here we go.
Bye.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.